Book of Exodus, chapter number 14. It is good. It's good to be here. It's good to be saved. But we don't have a message of defeat this morning. We got a message of victory. That is the message. You're able to. You'll stand in reverence for reading God's Word. If you're not able to, we're much more interested in you reverencing the Word of God in your heart than there with your body. Very familiar. I'm going to read a couple of places in the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to read in the book of Exodus. We'll start off in the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. And I realize we talk about Scripture being familiar to a lot of folks, and maybe it is and maybe it's not, but you find in this place that there's already been the Passover, and God has reached down and pulled out the children of Israel out of the bonds of Egypt. Yes. He's brought them underneath our door would be there, underneath the Lamb's blood. Yes. And they are at this place where they're getting ready to pass through the Red Sea and to get over to the wilderness en route to the Promised Land. We're going to pick up our reading. I'm going to read verse number 3 and skip down to verse 10. Bible says, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in." Then in verse 10, the Bible said, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us to die in the wilderness? Wherefore thou hast dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Notice the next verse, the last one I'll read here. He said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." Turn with me, if you will, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. I want to just remind you sort of what's happening in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Essentially, there is an army coming in behind them, and they are shut in the way. They don't see no hope. They don't see no way out. They're trapped where they are trapped. They get in that place where they can't see a way out, and God tells them, all you got to do, go forward. Their hearts are afraid. Soldiers are around them, and they don't have no hope. But then God shows them a way. Amen. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. I want you to notice what the Bible says. We'll start reading in there in verse number 6. The Bible says, speaking of Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. Verse 6 says, "But he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Then notice the last text. He said, "But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you today. And the Lord, I pray one more time that God should help us to preach the gospel. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that you would be magnified on high today. I'd ask you, Lord Jesus, help me not to say anything contrary to your precious word. Father, I pray that you'd fill us up and anoint us afresh one more time. I pray, God, you'd give us good liberty to preach the gospel as it is, to people as they are. And Father, I am absolutely persuaded of this, and God, that apart from the resurrection of the dead, and we have no hope. But God, I'm sure glad today, and as Peter wrote, and we are not following cunningly devised fables. And Father, I'm glad today it is not a tradition, and nor just a well-told story, but God, you getting up from the grave,
and lies our justification, it lies our help. And Father, I pray today you'd make it clear. Ask you, God, that you'd deal in the hearts and beyond what we can see, and keep our hearts set on Christ. And Father, I pray one more time. And Lord, if this day is the last day I ever get to say anything, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me and to say the best thing that I ever have said about you. And Lord, I love you because you first loved me. It's in Christ's name I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. And so we notice in that text in the book of Exodus, again, let me remind you of this. And friend, when they come up to this place, and the children of Israel, and they are homeless, they don't have a place to go, and they are hopeless as far as that's concerned, and Moses has led them down, and it is by the providence of a thrice holy God, and God has led them by this way. And you remember God said in his word, he led them not by the way of the Philistines, unless their hearts be faint with war. And so even though this way might have looked like a better way, God said, I'm going to take them down by the way of the wilderness. And he gets them down in that place, and we find their trap, so to speak. It looks like there's no way out. There's mountains on either side of them, and there is the feeling of the hooves and the sound of the chariots of a mighty enemy coming in behind them. And to thank God, and sitting right in front of them, yes, of this Red Sea. And no doubt they were terrified in their heart, as soldiers everywhere. Hope has left them, and they don't know what they're going to do. And boy, I got to thinking about that, and I thought that looks an awful lot like what it looked like on this day. And you remember that when they said, he said, that fella said that his body would be resurrected. Old Pilate said, you have your watch, and go make that tomb as sure as you can. And sitting there on that day, they surrounded that place with all the soldiers, all the people of God, and they were afraid. And now on this day, all of a sudden, it looks like God has failed. There is no help, and there is no hope, and there is no hope. But might I say to you, friend, that looks are deceiving. Amen. And thank God, I started thinking about, they started crying back to Moses, and they said, why'd you bring us this way? And they said, only thing we're going to do is die here. They said, this is a dead end. Amen. And his disciples thought, and when they went to that tomb that day, they thought, this is a dead end. But I'd like to preach on this thought this morning, how God don't do dead ends. Amen. And thank God there never has been a dead end when it comes to Christ. And thank God, I'm glad that we can come in the house of God and preach, because I don't have to know where your life's at and to know God don't do dead ends. Amen. Oh, listen. And you say, preacher, I'm in a place where I'm hopeless. I probably look like them, I'd say. I'd say, preacher, I'm in a place where I'm helpless and it don't look like I can get out. I've got good news for you. In the book of Exodus, we find that he shows how they can get out. And in the book of Mark, we find he shows how you can get in. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. I'm glad to report to you today that you ain't never been anywhere and that God can't get you out of it. And you ain't never been so far and that God can't get you in. Amen. And what a blessing today. And that God doesn't do dead ends. Amen. I'm saying, friend, as we cut in the house of God, I thought about three or four things. And Nathaniel told me I could preach an hour. And I'm going to take him up on that. And I'm going to put that hour with the hour I already had. Amen. Oh, yes, friend, listen. I start thinking about three or four things that you find. You say, preacher, I mean, listen, friend, this ain't no joke. And they're standing there in that place. And listen, I mean, it's easy for me to preach about the Red Sea. And say, why don't y'all just go walking forward? And it's because I ain't at the Red Sea. Amen. I mean, listen, thank God. Ain't nobody never seen a way open like that before. And they're standing there with a body of water. And it cannot be crossed. It looks like they are sitting dust. It looks like, thank God, and that they're just sitting waiting for the enemy to come up. But oh, listen, I got to thinking about how. And we find God does the impossible there. after time, thank God. Had we been in Gideon Street,
yep,
and didn't know what to do, and didn't know which way to go. Heaven, I'm sure glad when I was in that place, and somebody preached me the gospel, and they told me about Christ, and they told me there was one, and they opened up a Red Sea. And thank God, I'm glad I don't have to walk on the water like Peter. I've got a God who can part the sea. Help me, listen, friend. And you say, preacher, I don't see it. I don't see it. Listen, let me say this. And when you're in a dead-end street and you're right in line for a place and for God to do a scriptural work in your life, amen. And you say, preacher, what do you mean by that? And listen, friend, when he parted the Red Sea, he had already told him he was going to bring them out, amen. He had told them in Genesis 15, and thank God, he said, in 400 years, I'm going to visit your people. And he said, and I will bring them out. And thank God, in Genesis 15, and we find Joseph getting ready to die. He gives a commandment and concerning his bones. He said, for the Lord shall surely visit his people, brother King. And well, listen, I ain't got to figure it out. If God said he'll come fix us, he'll come pull us out, I ain't going to figure out how. All I got to do is rest on the fan. And God will do everything. Have you ever said he would? In John chapter number 2, and we find the Lord Jesus said, and destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And we find in the book of Jonah, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. And we find in Genesis 22, as some 4,000 years before Christ ever died, and that Abraham by the Holy Ghost had led his son up on Mount Moriah. And for 3 days, he was as good as dead in the eyes of Abraham. Abraham laid him on that altar and drew back the knife. But thank God, thank God, there was a ram caught by its horns over in the thicket. And listen, that is God pointing out to you and I. In Hosea 6:2, he said, yet in 2 days, and on the third day, and we will revive. I'm telling you, friend, listen, I understand the disciples. Hearts had overcome them by fear. I understand that there's a lot of folks and they're not even looking for Christ today. But I'm telling you, friend, and mark it down, amen. And thank God this world's not a dead end. I'm looking for the exit out, amen. And just any good day. And thank God that trumpet is going to sound. And you say, preacher, I heard about it my whole life. Have you heard about it for 4,000 years? Oh, listen. And for 4,000 years, he talked about how Christ would come. And they said, where's he at? And where's he at? And but thank God. Hey, listen, way back yonder, down in Bethlehem, of Judah there, was a star shining one day. And but thank God, down in the cunning little manger, and we find the bread of life and our eternal hope. And there he was, there he was. And for 2,000 years, and folks have been saying, where is the promise of his coming? And where's he at? Amen. And but I'm telling you, thank God, he that shall come, he will come, and he will not tarry. Oh, yes, thank God. I mean, listen, he's done everything that he ever said he would. If you're in a dead-end place in your life, you're in a good spot for God to do something as scriptural, amen. How you say, what's that mean, preacher? If you're lost, he'll probably save you. Amen. Thank God. I will say yes, friend. He will save you if you'll let him. And there's not nobody here, thank God, that couldn't be reached by the good grace of God. But I'm sure glad that there's at least a few folks here tonight that remember that time. When, thank God, when the Holy Ghost came by your way, and you was trying to figure out how to get out of hell. And you said, best I can tell, it's a trap. And nobody gets out of hell. And listen, could I say this to you, and whether you know it or not, if you're lost, you're on your way to hell. But oh, good neighbor, I'm glad, thank God, and one day as I was on my way to hell, I saw the flashing exit ramp, and thank God, it would probably be an exit 3:16. I just got off that way. I said, if he loved me and died for me, I believe I'll go his way. And thank God I'm glad tonight and I'm not going to hell. I'm glad, friend, and that I'm not in a dead end. He might have died, but thank God he got up. Amen. Oh, he got up. I mean, listen, I'm not in a dead end. I thank God for it. And you said, preacher, it looks like things is heading for a dead end. Could I say this to you? I think we live in a time when more folks are more desperate than they ever have been. And Brother Kim, they don't show it on the outside. I thank God more for some folks caught. They got more money than they've ever had. They got more houses than they've ever had. And it looks like on the outside, things are going pretty good. But down on the inside, what they find is this: there's not enough money to fulfill what you are lacking on the inside. There's not enough houses. There's not enough trucks. There's not enough land. There's not enough sports. There's not enough liquor. There's not enough lottery. There's not enough of any of that. And when you do that, thank God, at the end of it, you still know I'm missing something. There's something in my life that's got me on a dead end street. And you say, preacher, how do you know? And thank God, every sinner comes to the realization sometime that they're on a dead end road. And you're in a good place for there to be a scriptural work. But you're also in a good place for there to be a special work. Amen. Man, when you're at the end of that thing, Brother Kyle, as long as we are trying to help God, you'll never get in this way. And thank God, salvation is not you and the Lord. And salvation is of the Lord. Amen. And thank God. Thank God, I'm glad for it. I say many times around here, that when it comes to preaching, Brother Christian, and my sole responsibility is God cooks it in his kitchen. And he's giving it to you folks that's dining in. All I am's a waiter. I just try to take it from here and I try to bring it to you. And I do the best I can. I have to keep my fingers out of your soup. Amen. And just to give it to you. And just like it is. And I'm sure glad tonight. And thank God when God gets to doing something special. That's something that you stand there. And you say, I didn't know if God even could help me. I tell you what, the devil's got folks convinced. He's got them convinced they've done messed up too bad. And they've done went too far. They've done gone too many times for God to help them. But I'm telling you, thank God that the children of Israel came out by the blood. And they're standing by the Red Sea. And what they thought was a place of death ended up not being death at all. It became a place of life. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. Have these folks, and they say, have them Christians. It looks like that's a dead place. Oh, no. There's no cemeteries here. Thank God, thank God. Everywhere you look around, and for somebody born again by the grace of God, that's where resurrection has taken place. And we've all had a death, amen. Have been crucified with Christ. But thank God. And just like he didn't stay dead, and we didn't either, amen. And you say, preacher, and you are going to die. And listen to me, friend, absolutely not. I already have. At July 2nd, in 1988, I died a death, amen. And in that day, Christ put in my heart eternal life. And thank God. And one of these days, I'm just going to graduate out of this town. Tabernacle. And thank God into my eternal home. I'm telling you what folks think. Looks like death has sure been a place of life. Amen. And listen, I'm sure and the children of Israel, when they walk that way, they said it looks like this is a place of utter defeat. But it wasn't a place of defeat. It was a place of victory. Amen. You know why we shout and why we sing and why we smile? It's because, thank God, I know who wins. Amen. And it's already happened. And thank God, and I have a winning side.
Yes, sir.
We're standing in that place, and these folks, and they're just at the dead end of their life. And they say, man, all I see is death. And all I see is defeat. All I see is somewhere I'm going to come up short. But thanks be to God. Remember what God told Moses? He just said, go forward. Amen. And thank God. And they said, preacher, there ain't no way there. It don't look like there's a way. I'm going to say this to you. As soon as they started going forward, and they found out the way they thought was closed, that was really open, amen. And God started making a way. And where there never was a way. And you say, friend, listen, I don't know where folks is at. I can't see inside your heart. But if you're in a place that it looks like it's a dead end, how could I say that every time Israel had got in captivity, how they went back to that day and they started rehearsing in their mind how that God visited them, how that God opened the Red Sea. And you'll find it in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And the Psalms and the book of Nehemiah. And they're always talking about how that God rescued his people out of Egypt. And that is till you come to the New Testament. And then a bigger miracle happens. And thank God in one. Hey, listen, I don't preach too much about the Red Sea. But I live every day in the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when they walk in their minds and back to the Red Sea for help, I don't walk back to the Red Sea. I run to an empty tomb. I say, if there's an empty tomb, there's still hope, amen. There's still hope. Oh, listen, I'm saying God will do a special work in your life if you let him. God will do a scriptural work in your life if you let him. But thank God, let me say this to you. When you're at a dead end, God don't do dead ends. Thank God, if you'll let him, thank God, he'll do a supernatural work in your life. Have you listened? I don't know if you know it tonight. One of the great things about a church is that we're not gathered here because we're all a Tennessee Vols fan. Amen. Joey is one. And thank God, and I am not. Amen. And so we couldn't fellowship over that. And thank God, there's folks here, Brother Joe, and we used to have drug problems. And the key word is, it's a used to have. Amen. Heaven used to have liquor problems. Heaven used to have women problems. Heaven used to have men problems. Heaven used to have lottery problems. Heaven used to have more problems than you could ever even imagine. Heaven, the fact that what brings us all together, and to find out there was a day, a place, and a time, when we were in a dead end, and didn't know if there was any help for us. Understand how God helped everybody else. I would never understand how God would help me. I would be in the God of glory. And you said, preacher, what makes it supernatural? Man couldn't part the Red Sea, and man couldn't raise up Christ from the dead. Amen. It took God to do it. Thank God, thank God. I'm not here as religion. And religion's what man does. And religion cleans up the outside. It puts on new suits. And it puts on new dresses. And it combs your hair a different way. Have a relationship and redemption. It changes something on the inside where man can't reach. And only God can, amen. It's a supernatural work. Listen, these folks in our day, they get them confused. They think they're one and the same, but they're not. You say, preacher, how do you know what the difference is? I'm going to tell you this, thank God, when God does a supernatural work in your life, he changes the desires in your heart. Amen. Thank God. I mean, we come to the house of God and we worship Christ. Listen, willingly, not because somebody constrained me. Could I tell you today, my mama didn't have to call me and invite me to come to church. My wife didn't have to poke me and say, honey, time to get up. You got to go preach to those people today. Oh, no, thank God. My boys didn't come in and say, Dad, are we going to church today? No, thank God. Hey, listen, I'm glad. And the Holy Ghost done a work in my heart. He put something in there and started loving the things of God. It's not a work by man. It's not a work because of man. Thank God it can't even be denied by man. I'm glad, thank God. Listen, and the old saying is, the proof's in the pudding. And let's line this thing out and see how the law die, and see how the saved die, and see how the lost live, and see how the saved live. I promise you, at the end of the day, any place that Christ's hand has been, and there is a supernatural work that man can't explain. Amen.
That's right.
Say,
preacher, you think saved people's marriages are better? Nobody get mad.
Preach.
Yes. Yes. I think there's a way that you don't even know how to love your spouse apart from the love of Christ.
Amen.
You say it's having a difference in saved people's homes?
Yes.
Thank God. At the end of this day, could I say, listen, we like most everything. I like to play everything. I like to participate in everything. But that's just what we do. That is not who we are. Amen. At the end of this thing, thank God, I'm not banking on my goodness or your goodness or anybody else's. All I can attest to is there was a day and a place and time God done supernatural in my life. And by my wife's testimony in her life, and by my boy's testimony in their life. And if the only proof I had of it, that was that my home's a happy home, that's enough for me. Amen. My wife, listen, thank God my wife's never been cussed at. And the last time I checked, I've never had to dodge anything. Amen. I mean, thank God, listen, that my kids ain't browbeat. And they've not been talked down to. Have they been loved by the Holy Ghost? It's not because their dad's a good man. It's because there's a good man on the inside of their dad. Amen. And that good man on the side of their dad that does something supernatural when he loves the mama, and when he loves the babies, and when he loves the brethren, and when he loves the lost, and when he loves the church. It's not because we're good. It's because there's somebody living in us. Amen. It's supernatural. I say this to you today, friend. It's a special work. It's a scriptural work. It's a supernatural work. It's a saving work.
Amen.
I don't know how that looked. Some 1 million, 3 million. You know how many it was? That came walking across that Red Sea. And the Bible says that crowd was dry. And you know what I think about that? Amen. I think God meant just what he said. I think that ground was dry. Amen. Hey, listen, I don't care. Don't mean you say, preacher. You say, preacher, you wasn't there. Well, you wasn't either. Amen. You wasn't either. Thank God. You take Charles Darwin's word, and I'll take God's word. Amen. Last time I checked, you still go by Charles Darwin's grave. Find him laying right where he's always laid. But you can't go to where Christ is at. Thank God, because he ain't there. And you said, preacher, how do you know he ain't there? If they could have produced a body, they'd have produced a body a long time ago. But thank God there's no body to be produced. Amen. And you say, well, the disciples hid the body. I've heard that lately. And the only problem with that is you're not the first person to come up with that. They've been saying that for a mighty long time. Thank God. But old one fella said it like this: a man might live for a lie, but he would not die for one. But 11 disciples were tortured. Thank God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank
God, they might have believed it. But if I was to tell them a lie about the time you're going to dip me down in boiling oil, I'm going to back off from my lie. But old John the Revelator had just got dipped on down anyhow. You say, why? Because it already came down to an empty tomb. He had already looked inside it and knew Christ wasn't there. He had already seen the seraphims and the cherubims and standing at each end of the mercy seat. And they get ready to put him in. He said, this is a dead end. He said, oh no, it's just a one-way trip out of this world. How little did they know he didn't die. Exiled on the Isle of Patmos and the Spirit on the Lord's day. And what he saw, it was not the, thank God, just the Lord crucified. But he saw him raining and getting ready to come again. Amen. Oh, listen.
I don't know how they must have felt when they came to that Red Sea. But I do know this. Standing on the other side of that Red Sea, when God said there's an enemy after you, he said when you get to the other side, you won't see them no more. And I don't know, standing on the other side of that Red Sea looking back, them waters came crashing together.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Pharaoh and his chariots and army that had been so keen come out of the people of God. They couldn't get their brakes fast enough. Oh, listen. On the other side of that, the enemy that had been after them was gone, gone, gone. I don't know if you know it today. He's an enemy. He caught on your trail.
Right.
Caught on your trail. Thank God the Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once.
That many times. Everybody, it's appointed for everybody.
Once to die. After this is just. There are some people that they're not going to die once. They're going to die twice. There is a second death. Thank God for the people of God. I'm only going to die just the one time. I want you to understand, friend, when we went down and died that time, when Christ got up on the third day, we find he raised up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And so death has no hold on the believer. Thank God death's got no sting. The grave's got no hold. We stand where we stand at by a saving work of God. You say, preacher, who'd he save you from? He saved me from the sovereign. Amen. He saved me from God. Thank God. Listen, these folks trying to get out of hell, you better be afraid about standing before a thrice holy, fiery-eyed God. Amen. Oh, he saved me from God. He saved me from hell. He saved me from Satan. He saved me from myself. And he saved me from my sins. Amen. And thank God I'm glad. When you get to a dead-end place, there's hope beyond that place. Folks here this morning,
yes,
listen, time after time, keep driving down a dead end street.
Yep.
Standing there. Going down the same street, getting to the same end, expecting a different result. Turn around, turn over a new leaf, try to drive a different way, but end up turning right back down the same dead end street. God don't do that yet. Thank God. I'm telling you, the last time I checked, God brought that crowd out of Egypt. He said, you'll not see them no more. They didn't see them no more. God told us, thank God that we got victory over death out of the grave. Let's look up here, Andy. I'm not going to go to hell for 5 seconds.
That's right.
5 minutes. 5 hours or 5 days. I ain't got any God save me.
Yeah.
He saved me so good.
Yeah.
If there's not one flame, that eternal fire, that'll ever touch my soul.
Yeah.
I've cleared my heart. I've given you what I feel like God's given me. I don't know where you're at.